Just a very brief thought. It's really a question that I have. I have a question on so many of the religions of the world. The major religions came after Judaism. And it seems from their writings that they copied much. One religion publishes our Tanakh together every time they publish their Bible. They call it the New Testament and the Old Testament. We're the Old Testament. Others refer richly to it, to its stories, to its rules, to its narrative. There are at least four other religions besides Judaism that record in their religious teachings that the Creator appeared to the Jewish people at Sinai and spoke directly to them in front of millions of eyewitnesses. They record this. And yet, when they speak about the origins of their religion, they say that there was some private revelation, that the prophet or the leader or someone had a dream, or an angel came to him in some hotel upstate New York, or he was on his way walking to Damascus and he had a revelation. One alleged witness, and that's the whole basis. And I have two questions on this religious thinking. Number one, if they copied, they firstly had access to our Torah, to our Tanakh. Why didn't they copy this most winning argument? There was a public revelation. Not only a public revelation, there were miracles that took place, and these people recognized that there had to be a creator who turned the laws of nature upside down in Mitzrayim. Now they come to Har Sinai 49 days later, actually, depending on where you're counting from, and then he speaks directly to them. Millions of people standing there, hearing. And not only that, he appoints the prophet in the earshot of all the people, everybody here, that he appoints Moshe as his official teacher, Novi, spokesman, so that they know that everything he teaches them is literally the word of God. So my question is, why don't other religions who have access to this winning claim, they see it, they even refer to it in their own teachings, why didn't they make such a claim that there was a public revelation after public miracles? And that's how we know, and that's how we have our religion today. Question number one. Question number two, even if they're not going to copy it, why do they all have to promote the fact that it happened to us? Forget it. Drop the Jews and say your own thing. Okay, you don't want to use such a dramatic story that's so powerful, but, you know, say what you say. But why do you have to say, oh, you know what happened to the Jews? They had miracles in Egypt. They saw the action of the Creator firsthand. And then they heard him speak to them at Har Sinai and tell them exactly the purpose for which he created, and appointing the prophet not by some thought of, oh, I'm going to be the prophet and you guys should believe me, but hearing directly from the Creator that he's my teacher, he's my man, you can rely on everything he teaches. So why do they have to record that? Just, you don't want to say it, don't say it, but don't say it about us to give us so much more credibility. Why are they interested in our credibility? Number two, and question number three. Why are they so foolish? They read Parshas Shmos. They have it in their Bibles. They had access to our Bible, which was translated some 2,500 years ago into Greek the first time, maybe 24 or something, you know. Why is it that they didn't learn the lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu? What did Moshe Rabbeinu answer to Hashem when Hashem said, go tell Bnei Yisrael that God appeared to you and now has come the time to lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? You know what Moshe said? Four words, I'm sorry. Who knows those four words? Vehem lo yaminu li. They ain't gonna believe me. No, that's bad English. They're not going to believe me. Moshe Rabbeinu told the world to know for all time that when you come to tell people that you had a divine revelation in private, nobody in his right mind is going to believe it. That's what Moshe said to Hashem, and if Hashem gave him some miracles to do and so forth. Now, if that's the case, then why didn't they learn the lesson? Don't make claims of private revelation that Hashem appeared to me privately, because that kind of stuff people are not going to believe. Those are my questions. And I would like to answer very simply. Number one, the reason that they didn't copy that claim is quite obvious. That is, you can't make such a claim unless it happened. You can say that you had a private revelation, and either people will believe you or not. The Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem that no one's going to believe that. But let's say there'll be some foolhardy people who might believe you. But you cannot claim a public revelation unless the people saw it. Because otherwise, this entire nation that it was in front of, these few million people, will be up in arms and say, hey, did you see that? Did you see that? I never saw it. Did you see it? Did you see it? What's this guy talking about? It never happened. You can't get away with a public hoax like that. You can say privately whatever you want, and your friend might believe you, maybe not. But you cannot make up such a story. One. Why do they record such a story? Our story in their teachings? Just drop it. You don't want to say it happened to you. You can't get away with it. So, but don't tell it that it happened to us. That makes us so much more credible, believable than you. And I think the answer is very simple. They need that story. Because they too want to claim that Hashem spoke to someone. And if there was never a story as prominent and as clear a historical fact as the fact that Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, then no one would believe them, then they wouldn't even have the chance that they might have that someone would believe them on a private revelation becomes that much more absurd, because God doesn't speak to people. Oh yes, He does. Oh yes, He did. There are millions of eyewitnesses that He did. Okay, so now He came for a private session. So they need that claim in order to be able to at least maybe convince some of their people of the possibility of a private revelation. Number two. Number three. Why didn't they learn the lesson from Parshas, Shmoyis Vehein Lo Yaminu Li, that they're not going to get away with it? I don't have an answer to that question. I only know that I have other questions like that too. I have another question. That how do they claim that there was a change of mind of the Creator Himself after having chosen the Jewish people to give them the Torah, and they claim that, well, now, you know, we misbehaved, we didn't act properly, whatever they want to say, what we did wrong, and therefore He doesn't favor us anymore, and He wants them to be His chosen people. Well, the problem with that is, if they read Parshas Re'eh, the Parsha of Novi Sheker, where the Torah says, if a prophet will arise and do miracles of the highest order, blatant miracles that prove that he's a Novi Hashem, that he's a legitimate prophet. And now, he says, let's leave this religion. We're going to go to some other version. We're not going to serve the one God anymore. Such a prophet is put to death. And the Torah says the reason Hashem allowed him to do miracles is just to test us, to see if we truly love Hashem or if we're going to follow this false prophet. So there's a parasha that says that Hashem can't change His mind. He can't even send a Novi. He won't. It doesn't. If a Novi comes and says it and proves himself to be a Novi, still put him to death if he says leave this. So the Torah cannot be changed. Hashem made the Torah in such a way that He Himself cannot change it. If that's the case, So how could they say there was a change and still write this parsha in their Bible? And I've checked. And in their Bible, the Old Testament part, you have the parsha of Novi Sheker. I can only say that, I guess, you know, you have to learn a little bit in depth. You have to pay a little more attention to the details. You have to pay a little bit more attention to the ramifications, which is what we get when we study not only the Chumash, but when we study Teresh Balpeh. We're trained to think. We're trained to analyze. We're trained to recognize the repercussions. We're trained to follow a train of thought and to see where it leads, where it comes from, where it's going to, and how it can make sense in the context of everything else. And I guess if you're not specially trained in that and haven't had that developmental experience, then you can overlook simple things. Like Moshe Rabbeinu declaring, no one will necessarily, in truth, believe that there was a private revelation. Now, the truth of the matter is that over a period of time, this idea gets lost. Because over a period of time that people hear, the first generation, it's not credible. But then after that, oh, there's so many people. Now there's 500, now there's 1,000, now there's 10,000. So it starts to, the message starts to get a little bit clouded, and maybe people pick up on it. Especially if the message is, we got an easier way of life for you. You know, you don't have to be bound by all those rules. You don't have to have 613 problems. You can, you know, a little this, a little that, everything is fine. So that's also an incentive to accept something. But the rational thinking says, that how can I base my life, how can I dedicate my life to something as flimsy as a statement of one human being? And that's what it is. The only statement in all of human history of a public miracles like happened in Mitzrayim and public revelation that happened at Sinai is only to the Jews at Sinai, and any religion that wishes to prove that God speaks to human beings uses Maimon Har Sinai as the source of proof. So I wanted just to share that thought with you today, and I think that, number one, the takeaway message is that we should be very proud and very strong in our convictions because we have experienced in our history. It has been recorded for posterity, for future generations. It has been passed down accurately to this day. The word of Hashem, the directives of Hashem, the purpose for which Hashem created the world. And we should look on with, I guess, some type of sympathy at those that weren't so privileged and that have to, nebuch, rely on the statement of one person claiming, whatever the claims are, a little bit different in each case, but one person's claim, to base my life on one person's claim, I find to be not enough of a basis to be able to do anything. And therefore, the whole basis is very flimsy.